Hello, welcome to Detailers Cast. My name is Chris, and today I'm joined by Scott King from King Vehicle Damage Repair. How are you, Scott?
Good morning. Good morning, Chris. I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's all right. Thanks for making the journey up to us. You've had a bit of a nightmare to get here, haven't you?
Monday morning, coming out of London North is never fun, but there you go. I'm here now.
Well, it's much appreciated. Thanks for coming up. And we were really keen to get you in and have a chat with you. As you know, the Detailers Cast is predominantly aimed at our detailing industry, which you're part of. You detail a few cars now and again, as well as doing your scratch repairs and your smart repairs.
Yep.
And the whole idea of this podcast is really to help people along in terms of giving them some information that may help their business in terms of driving their own portfolio forwards effectively. So we're really pleased you came and accepted the invitation. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. More than happy to share my journey with you guys.
Good. And it's been an amazing journey so far. So why don't you give us a bit of a feel for your background in terms of how King Vehicle came about and where you are today, etc.
Okay. So, I mean, just a little bit about me. I'm obviously Scott from King Vehicle Damage Repair. I have quite an extensive background, time apprentice, served, you know, left college probably about 21 when I qualified, went into a body shop. I was there for a year, and then I found myself in the world of mobile smart repair. As you will know, Chris, I started as a technician and worked my way up to manage probably one of the biggest mobile repairers in the country, quite a senior level.
Yep.
The time span was probably around, I'd say maybe 8 years I spent at that company. So I got to a point where I was looking out the window sometimes, wondering where I go next. And within my previous role, we had, not only did we serve the UK with over 100 mobile technicians, we also had a network of around 100 franchisees. And part of my role was to support the franchise network. So I obviously always looked at these guys building their own businesses, yep. Some more successful than others, and kind of went back to what I, you know, where I started, which was working with my hands, looking at these companies, thinking, do I want to do this? Do I want to create my own brand? Anyway, short version is I tried something else for 6 months. I worked on a project where I was putting on a suit every day, driving into work, completed that project, and then I was back to the drawing board. I still wasn't happy with what I was doing. I was still looking for something that was going to make me want to jump out of bed in the morning, and something that didn't really have a ceiling. So I had a bad day one day, and a friend of mine actually said, why are you still at this job if you're not enjoying it?
Yeah.
So that phone conversation lasted all of a few minutes. I put the phone down and I ordered a van. And that was the start of King Vehicle Damage Repair.
Right there and then.
I didn't really know. I knew how to set up the business, but I didn't really have a customer base. So that was the challenge. You know, like literally, it was going to be knocking on doors and trying to find some work. I knew how to get the van, how to set it up, where to get the equipment from,
what to do.
But it was just a case of, right, I've done it, the van's ruined, where do we go from here?
And
that's how it came about. I got to a point in my life where I was just not satisfied with what I was doing. I was really just turning up for a paycheck. I was paid quite good money to do what I did, and that was simply it. So I wanted to find something that, as I say, when I woke up in the morning, it wasn't a struggle to get out of bed. You know, I was getting out of bed for the love of what I do.
Yeah, for passion as well.
Exactly.
Rather than just reward, as it were, sort of thing.
Absolutely. And I didn't actually realise I was as passionate about the world of repair as I actually was until, you know, I started doing it and I actually turned a corner, could look back and see how far I'd come in such a short space of time, lost the pressures of... It's a scary thing when you haven't got a regular income, you know, and the phone's not ringing. So
yeah, I know it very well. Yep.
But I'm sure we'll revisit that shortly. But once I sort of got, I'd say past the first few months, just before we ran into a pandemic and I could see regular income coming in, I could really sit back and think, right, I actually enjoy this, you know. It's So, you know, my head's above the water now. I have got a regular income, and I really, really enjoyed what I'm doing. And ultimately, I found what I set out to do. And obviously, things have grown from there substantially.
Good. Yeah, so it's a real success story so far. You know, I think one of the major things that obviously your branding is really great. Your Instagram presence and everything else that you've got going for you as well. You come across really well on camera, etc. So it's seeing that journey from an outside, because we've met previously before you'd started King Vehicle Repair. Yeah. Both in similar kind of positions where we'd been in regular employment and got a regular paycheck and pretty well paid for doing what we did, and then kind of went, what else though?
Yeah, what something else? Was missing, wasn't it?
Yeah. So to see it from an outsider's perspective and see your business grow and yourself has been really, really, it's been inspirational in some respects as well, and it's been a joy to watch, genuinely. I do mean that. So, nice. You know, today, King Vehicle Damage Repair is doing well, and what's been your go-to, because you said that initial part of trying to get customers to you, what has been your marketing strategy in that regard?
So I have, as I say, over 10 years within the repair industry, but the company that I used to work for was based in the Midlands, and I used to live up there or spend a lot of my time in hotels, so I kind of had a lot of my contacts weren't in the area that I lived in. I'm from London, North London.
Yep.
And the biggest mountain for me to climb was the customer base. And I'll tell you why. I had a company phone for maybe 6-7 years. And of course, all my contacts on there, the people that I'd go to, were on there. And people that would ring me because they know I was in the smart repair game would call that number. And when I left, for one reason or another, my boss at the time wouldn't let me take the number.
Yeah.
Anyway, we won't go there. So I literally had to go and get a brand new phone number or new phone.
Yeah.
Which wasn't established. No one, I mean, even my friends didn't know, we're still calling my old work phone months later down the line. So I literally had no contact or customer base or contacts to go to and say, look, this is what I'm doing now. Can you spread the word, so to speak? And I could call some people up from numbers that I had stored, but that number was almost installed into people's heads from where I just had it for so you know what it's like.
I know.
When you change a number, I've been trying to get hold of you. What do you mean? I changed my number about 6 months ago. But so that was a real pain for me, but I think if I didn't have that happen to me, I wouldn't have potentially gone down the route that I took to try and rebuild those contacts and those links that I had. And also, it wouldn't have pushed me to go and build new bridges in London, which is where I'm from and where my business, a lot of my business is. So
Scott, in terms of, you mentioned that you had some you were struggling in terms of having a customer base. You've had to change your phone number. You've had some real challenges there. And, obviously it's something that's instilled with people and it's always in their memory. You know, that's the number I just phoned Scott. Just start speed dial. Your number's changed. You've got no customer base. So what was your go-to strategy then to bring some more customers on board? How did you find them?
Yeah. So what that done for me was, because pretty much most of my adult life, I'd had the same contact number. I kind of thought, right, well, look, I'm not going to build these bridges again overnight. So I found social media. Mm-hmm. In the world that we live in today, if I'm looking for something, we're looking at, whether it be clothing or even holidays, we go to the social media page of the hotel we might be looking at, or the brand, we'll go straight to Instagram.
Yep.
And I learned very quickly that this is something that can work very quickly for me. And I decided to go, well, first thing I done was set up an Instagram page, because everyone has that. And if we look at if we're looking at cars and prestige cars and all that sort of thing, it's all over Instagram. So what I done was set up my Instagram page and I tried paid promotions. I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. I pretty much built my business from Instagram.
Yep.
I learned very quickly that that's what was working for me. Paid promotions were good, but what the only thing that I'll say to you, which was hard, and this is why you have to push through this stage, is that when you just start your Instagram page, if you've only got a little following, you can reach out to companies to piggyback off of, essentially,
yep,
to shout you out and obviously offer something to them for free in exchange for, you know, resharing or what have you. So yeah, their yeah, client base can see what you're doing. And I was contacting hire companies and they just weren't replying to me. Like, I'm talking big hire companies. No point contacting a hire company that's got like 100 followers, because
you might as well do it yourself.
You might as well do it yourself, exactly. Yeah, so yeah, I was looking for the biggest ones, the guys that got the M4s, the C63s, the R8s,
yep,
got 10K followers plus. And they wasn't replying to my messages. And I'm thinking, like, guys, I'm trying to offer you stuff for free here.
I'm like, going to do this for nothing.
I'm going to do it for absolutely nothing.
Yep.
And then I'd say maybe 1 in 10, maybe 1 in even more than that, would come back to me and say, okay, yeah, no problem, we'll take you up on that. And it started to work, and slowly my following started to build. And then what happened, when I got to around my first 1K followers, these hire companies started to come back to me saying, you spoke to me about that free repair 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
Can we take you up on it?
Can you come and do 5 now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I went back and I was like, all right, cool, no problem. Because I could see it was working. And I went back and one guy said to me, you know, when you first messaged me a few months ago, I thought you were fake. And that's why I didn't reply to you. And really? Then the penny dropped and I thought, right, people, I'm reaching out to these people and I've got no presence on there. So why are they going to trust me to work on, why are they going to trust me to work on their vehicles?
Yep.
So then my focus was just really, really trying to build a reputable looking social media page that was a bit prestige, not just a picture of a bumper or a dent with filler in it, you know.
Yeah,
trying to make it look a little bit different from your Joe Bloggs' Smart Repair Instagram page. And another thing that really helped me was going to influencers,
yep,
and saying, look, you know, do you want me to do an alloy wheel for you or what have you? And then as that grew, you know, my phone started to ring, revenue started to come in, and I just stuck with Instagram. Don't yep, get me wrong, I was still putting out, going on like Facebook group pages in yep, my local area, saying, you know, putting on before and afters, and I'll get a little bit of work from there. But it was really Instagram, and still is to a certain extent, where I get a lot of my work from.
Instagram's a massive, massive platform.
It's huge.
I mean, even for us, for Zirconite UK, in terms of our growth with our detailer market,
yeah,
I'd say 90%+ of that has been influenced by Instagram. And a lot of the guys talk amongst themselves. It's a very close-knit industry that yeah, we work in. So we get a lot of recommendations. But those recommendations are all, I've seen you doing work on
exactly
these cars with Zirconite coatings. Yeah. What's it like? And then they go, oh, yeah, yeah. And then it just kind of snowballs from there. And we had to get to a point of hitting, I think similar to you, where, you know, there's no point just putting photos of product up with you. You're doing your repairs.
There's so much you can do on Instagram now. That's I mean, years yeah, ago, you could just put, all you could do is put a picture up, but
yeah,
you can pretty much sell yourself. You can go into so much detail on that. People amazing, love that stuff. Yeah. That's what I realized very quickly as well. The more you show, the more you showcase yourself,
and it's more you show of yourself as
exactly,
well.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that's a valid point you make, is in terms of, and we've encouraged some of our network to do the same. They do phenomenal work,
yeah,
and you kind of go, but who are you?
And it's that
personal side, which is a real driver for people, because they believe in you. Then I think it goes absolutely back to the point your customer made.
They subconsciously create a relationship with you, to the point where I've had to get used to people saying, calling me on my phone like, hi Scott, how you doing? You all right? And I'm thinking, like, waiting for one of my friends to be like, do you know what I mean? I'm like, who is it? No, I've never spoke to you before. I've just seen you on Instagram. So you know, yeah, like, what they're doing is it's almost like they know me before actually meeting me in person, which is good for business, because they obviously feel comfortable with you.
Yeah. And start building that trust
exactly,
as well,
yeah,
from a distance,
which is
great.
I would tell anyone that's looking to go down that route, try and, you know, get your face on camera. No one just wants to see you driving down the road or pulling up somewhere, or the outside of a car or something. Yeah, I mean, okay, depending on what car it is, they might want to see that. But do something that is different to what others are doing, the application of something, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a second person, someone that's watching, filming you polishing a panel, something a little bit different to what the average show's doing. I found that work for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, as I say, certainly make it, I've built a business from it.
Which is great. I think you've also, you've experienced some real success recently on YouTube.
So YouTube, yeah, that is something that I was overwhelmed by the growth that I had in such a short space of time. YouTube is something that I've wanted to do for a very long time. I think it's a great way of documenting what you do, showcasing what you offer, and hey, let's face it, it's free advertising. If you're getting any views, whether it's 100 views, 1,000 views, 10,000, 100,000, it's free advertising. And it's been a great success. We started about, I'm going to say 3-4 months ago, properly. Actually properly pushed it with my videographer and editor, Zoe.
Zoe is floating around with us today.
She is, yeah.
Taking some shots, making me nervous.
She's now joining me pretty much full time, and we're really going to take it to the next level. So up until about a week ago, we was putting out one video a week. And as I say, the first two or three videos really blew up.
Yeah.
To the point where I think my best one's done about 30,000, over 30.
I was going to say, 30, it must be over views. 30K on that now, yeah.
And I always knew it was going to be difficult to get traction on YouTube because that's just how it is. It takes a lot of time to get the algorithm working, get your subscribers up and YouTube to optimize your videos. And I think we put out our first serious video and I was like, really, at this rate, you know, we're gonna be sitting on 50K by the end of the year. But it slowed down a little bit, I'm not gonna lie. And I think that's largely because we're coming out of lockdown, the weather's better, people are probably spending less time on YouTube, but yeah, it's been a great success. Yeah. That's really, really great.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal to see in terms of, yeah, hitting 30K off the first couple of videos in terms of views and how many subscribers are you up to now?
Almost at 3,000.
That's amazing in such a short space of time.
As I say, it's been maybe three, four months tops since I've really, like, we've actually done it properly and consistently. You've got to be consistent with YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether you're doing two videos a week, three videos, or a video a day, or just one every second week, as long as you're consistent with it, you get people in that kind of routine. Otherwise, they'll just drop off.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think you're right. And apart from great content, because I've watched a lot of your videos and they are really shot well, and great job, Zoe. And you're doing all right, Jovin, of being in front of the camera as well. But apart from that great content and everything you do, what else do you think that's helping drive that success?
What, on YouTube?
Yeah. Because I mean, I've looked at some of your, like, your descriptions. They seem quite short in terms of you're not piling loads of information
in there.
You're hitting some hashtags and stuff.
Yeah,
it's a weird one.
Do you know
it?
What? I watch some public figures, like what are they called, public figures and inspirational people.
Yeah,
in public figures and what's the word?
Like public speakers and
and. Some of you detailer guys will know Tom TGE. He's got probably about a 10 car garage, and he shot a video where he hired out Goodwood, I think it might have been. He hired out a racetrack, spent a ton of money trying to shoot the best video that he could for his YouTube channel, and effectively lost money on it because it didn't do the views that he thought he did. And when I was watching him in another video, and he was saying YouTube, it's so hard to work out what's going to do well and what's not, because he said he'll just grab his camera, drive his car around Harrods in central London, and the video will do like 60-70,000 views,
it'll go
or
100,
it'll go nuts. But you know, yeah, hire out a racetrack, get camera cars and all sorts, but the video doesn't go anywhere. So I don't actually know what it is. Sometimes it can be a title.
At least you're honest.
Yep. It can be a title. If the foundation's there,
yeah,
and your video is got purpose,
yeah,
it looks good, it's shot well, it's edited well,
it's entertaining, educating,
inspiring, depending on what it is, then there's no reason why it can't. But there is a lot of factors that make up why it might go more viral than others. And if I'm honest, if we knew why it went viral,
I think if anybody knew, you'd bottle it and sell it for thousands.
I'd give up the day job for sure and just be on YouTube all the time. But yeah, the foundation needs to be there. So you need to have some purpose. If you're going to be...
Great content has got to be number one, hasn't it?
Yeah, and you've got to structure it. If you're just going to film a video about a load of rubbish or something that has been repeated on YouTube numerous times, but yours isn't too, you know, nowhere near it needs to top whatever's on there, otherwise it's just not going to get looked at.
Yeah, or if it's too similar, I think we'd, you know, we put out a lot of social media stuff here from Zirconite UK, and some of the weirdest things go mad. Like we were sat here late one night waiting for a courier firm had let us down. We won't name them. They'd let us down, and I'd gone a bit nuts down the phone at them, and they said, "We'll send a lorry." So they literally sent, we had 11 boxes of stuff to go, but it had to go. Mm-hmm. We don't let customers down. So they sent an entire Arctic lorry to pick 8 boxes up.
Wow.
And I literally just went outside and snapped this guy getting off the lorry with one tiny little box parked behind it. And it's like 114,000 views.
Yeah, well, that's it, because it's different. And you wouldn't, like, you know, you don't see this all the time, really, do you?
But then when you sat out here with like £500,000 worth of car, detailed, mm-hmm. and you spent days on it, and it's like, this is pride and joy work, and you shoot all the nice, sexy angles and all that kind of stuff, and the slow-mos, and it just doesn't happen. I think there's... Where you guys have come in and where you've hit the market really well is because it's different as well. You know, it's not, I don't think there's a huge amount of content out there for smart repair.
That is also another thing where I thought, I have to do this now, because I'd typed in like smart repair into YouTube, and there's only a couple of guys out there that's doing it, but they're not doing it the way what I'm putting out is different to what some of the big guys are putting out. Yeah. They're strapping GoPros to them, which is fine. Gives you a point of view angle of what they're doing, and they're filming sort of day-to-day stuff, but there's not many in the UK. Some of them out there, I mean, they're absolutely shocking what they're doing. I wouldn't really want to put out I'm surprised they've put out what they're doing. Some guys in America, there's some cowboy videos out there that have done 5-6 million views, but you know, have a look through the comments and you see why they've got views, and it's not for a good reason.
Well, is there such a bad thing as bad press though? This is it.
But
5 or 6 million views and still coining it in, even though they've done a really bad job. It's so shocking.
I'm thinking, maybe do we try and do some kind of little some stunt like that to our phone.
I don't think you would.
But no, I've spent a long time building this brand, so I'm not going to trash it for a few views. But yeah, there's not many people in the UK that are doing what I do in the smart repair world online. And before they clock that it's great for advertising and it's, you know, a good place to be,
yeah,
I thought, let me get on there first and get ahead of the game.
So, I mean, in terms of, if you were going to give some tips to, you know, the rest of our network or other people out there, then what kind of thing would you be looking at?
Okay, so tips for, say, like mobile detailers, small businesses.
Yep. Small businesses, mobile detailers, people that want to kind of hit the mark and really grow their social media presence.
So I would say first tip would be consistent and reliable. You have to be reliable in any business. And consistent. I mean, there's no point smashing it for 2 weeks and then going on holiday for 4 days, you know, because people are going to need their car wash. They're going to want you. And if you can be consistent, when I say consistent, if you're going to pick social media, because it's such a good place to be, you need to be consistent in terms of posting and showing your audience what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you disappear for a while, then people are either just going to unfollow you or you're not going to pop up on their feed as regular as you would if you was always posting.
Yep.
Whether that be your stories are great. I think stories are so easy, they don't take up too much of your time. Literally just hold down a button, pan it around, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, explain to your viewers or your followers what you're doing, and that can be done on a daily basis so easily.
Yeah.
So yeah, be consistent with whatever platform you decide to use. As I said, with YouTube, if you're going to do one video a week, make sure you do one video a week. You know, don't do 3 1 week and then none for the rest of the
month.
6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever, yeah.
And be reliable with your customer base. You've got to be reliable If you don't, you know, if you can't get to someone for however long, well,
so be it.
But be upfront with the customer, pick up the phone, and be honest. Yeah. So,
and be genuine with people, I think, is another major thing as well. You know, how long have we known each other now? Was it 2 years or so?
I'd say, yeah, there or thereabouts. Maybe a little bit longer than that. Might Chris, I'd say 3 or 4 years, actually. Longer than we think.
Like it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not, you're still Scott. You know, it's despite YouTube fame so far, you know, and it's just great to see you killing it. And do you have any other points that you wanted to?
Yeah, I'd say I've got a few tips for you. Stand out, whether that be with, again, social media, your branding on your van even. Like, you know, just that is going to be something that does thousands of impressions, which is free. You know, if your van's parked up in the right spot on someone's drive, make sure it looks clean, professional, not cluttered. Make sure your van's clean. If you can afford it, buy a decent van, buy a good looking van. Because that's something that I always got compliments on. I mean, my van's 2 years old now, but when it was brand new, I turned up,
but it looks the part.
It's not aged, because unfortunately that there hasn't been a facelift come out yet. But I remember when I did hit the road with 100, so maybe even 70 followers, all the equipment, but hardly any customers. That was a major selling point. As soon as I pulled up,
just
people knew I was serious.
Yeah.
I had a nice new van, all my equipment on there, and it got people talking about me rather than turning up in some clapped out old van. You know, people are always going to be on the back foot, especially if you're working on high end cars. So branding and just try and stand out. Push through the setbacks is another point, because you will hit a brick wall. As I said, you know, when I was reaching out to companies and they just were ignoring my messages, sometimes the phone wouldn't ring and I'd be like, oh my god, I've only got 2 days of work booked in, what am I gonna do? Just keep going. Go to some, in my case, I would go to car washes, drop off some cards. What else would I do? Go into car dealers. Talk to them, they'd push me away, I'd be back again in another week or two.
They just don't take no for an answer.
Just don't take no for an answer. And eventually, you know, one of those avenues will pay off. Make sure you've got the right equipment. And invest in some good equipment. There's no point cutting corners. And the real one, I would say, which I had to reevaluate as well, was, you know, if you're make sure your price point is right. If you're providing someone with a service that is up there among some of the best services that are within your industry, make sure your price point is right. I remember at the early days, I was underselling myself. I was driving around London,
just trying to catch the business.
Just trying to catch the business. And getting back at the end of the day and thinking, have I even actually made that much money? You know, I've done a hell of, I've been very busy, but I've almost been a busy fool.
So it's a common theme.
Not just
in smart repair, but also for detailers and mobile detailers.
I'd say in a lot of new businesses,
it's huge. But, you know, we're running a 2-day course here called Accelerator for some of our network. They're all attending free of charge. We don't charge for it, and it's based around the business side of detailing rather than, you know, here's a product, how to use it, and all that sort of stuff. One of the major aspects of that is pricing.
You've got to be confident with what you're offering.
And
the price has to
you've got to be confident, and it's got to be competitive. But I think one of the major things that we've seen, you know, with over 100 detailers on board with us now in the UK, is just because Bob down the road's doing a maintenance wash for 25 quid or whatever the figure may be, doesn't mean he's actually making any money.
Exactly.
So don't compete with it.
Exactly.
And yeah, we've done a lot of work with some guys on one-to-one in the lead up to Accelerator and the creation of that course, which has literally just kind of flipped a lot of people's thought process into their businesses, because, you know, we've got a calculator built for everybody where they could just put in, this is my services, how long it takes, and a load of other factors into it. And it kind of comes out the back end and says, yes, it's profitable, or no, it's not. And this is how much you're making, and this percentage. And the conversations we've had to have direct with some of our network in terms of literally send your customer £20 in the post instead of turning up and doing the work.
Right.
You'll still save yourself some money.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you'll
yeah.
get a customer for life. Just don't do the car. Do you see what I mean?
I do. And, you know, in my own personal experience, you'll see customers drop off because they're like, you know, well, last time you done my car for X.
Well, yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, it is what it is. I mean, how you have that handle that conversation is obviously down to the individual, but you will see some customers drop off, but you'll then attract, later on, you'll attract the customers that you want to attract.
Yeah.
You know, if you're charging slightly more than the next man, as long as you're happy that you are offering something that he is not,
yep.
and your customer gets that or feels that when
they get the value, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah. And those are the customers that you're going to want.
Yeah.
What I say to people is, if they, it probably happens on a daily basis, I'll quote someone and I'll say, well, you know, this is what I'm charging. They'll say, well, I've got quoted this yesterday. Okay. If it's really cheap, I'll say,
I suggest you take it. Yeah.
If it's too, it sounds too cheap to be true. And if you do have it done and you're not happy, it's going to cost you double. When you come back to me,
yeah.
And it's at the, you know, I've had a couple of people coming back to me with doors that aren't the right color, etc.
We got a Porsche 997 coming in later this week. That's a friend of a friend DA'd it and polished it and compounded it, and so now we've got it for 3 days.
Oh my god! But no, on a serious note, what I'll say, you know, we could be talking a difference of £50. Obviously, my services are a bit more expensive than just a wash, for example. Yeah. But I'm sure you have services that if you're gonna have a car for 3 days, and I'm sure it's gonna be quite an expensive job. But if someone's gonna be, you know, trying to argue a £50 difference for arguments, for example, what I would be saying is, if you want your car repaired and you just don't want to see the scratch, you want it to look like it's gone, then that's fine. If you're happy with that, you probably don't need me.
Yep.
But if you want to have your car repaired the same way it rolled out of Mercedes, BMW, or the factory, with no imperfection, everything perfect, flat and polished, then you want me.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that. And there's two types of repairers out there.
Yep.
I'm not the first.
Good. I think that's a great way to round it off, actually, in terms of where can your customers find you and where can other people find you, Scott? Where's
so we're on Instagram at King Vehicle Damage Repair, YouTube King Vehicle Damage Repair. You can get us on Facebook, and you can get us on our website, www.kingvehicledamagerepair.co.uk.
Awesome. Scott, thanks ever so much for coming in. Have you enjoyed it?
It's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me, Chris.
No problem at all. Thanks ever so much for your time. And let's go and get a coffee, shall we?
Nice.
All right, we'll do that.